Well, the children, when they go out this morning, they're going to be making a Christingle. And the lovely thing about the Christingle, apart from the fact it gives you a free orange and sweets on the cocktail sticks to take home and munch on, it gives you some of the story of the need of Jesus coming down at Christmas. And so I'm going to put on a short video now that will inform them why they're making the Christingle, but also inform us a little bit of some of those central truths that are held in the symbology of the Christingle, but also the story of Christ coming down.
Of the Christingle. Today I'm going to tell you a story, a true story, one of the greatest stories ever told. It happened a long, long time ago, before mums and dads and even grannies and granddads were born. It begins before there was anything at all except God. God made the world. Let there be light, he said, and there was light. He was pleased with what he saw and divided the light from the dark. He called the light day and the dark night. Then he made a huge dome over the earth, which he called sky, and beneath that was the earth. From the earth, small green shoots began to appear. Larger ones grew into trees laden with fruits. Some parts of the earth were covered with water, and very soon there were fish and sea creatures swimming below. The air was filled with beautiful birds and butterflies, and during the day, the world was bathed in sunlight. At night, the moon and the twinkling stars lit God's wonderful world. What a beautiful place in which to live. Let's collect our orange to represent God's wonderful world. You would think that having such a lovely place to live, that people would be happy, wouldn't you? You'd think that they would all be friends and life would be great, wouldn't you? But no, it wasn't. The very first people on earth, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God. Their children were jealous of each other, and the people who came after them were even worse. They were selfish, greedy, disobedient, and turned their backs on God, except for one man and his family, Noah. Noah listened to God and built an ark. He, his family, and two of every animal were saved when a mighty flood covered the earth. After 40 days, the rain stopped, and in the sky, God put something very beautiful. Yes, a rainbow to remind us that nothing like that would ever happen again. God promises that as long as the earth remains, there will always be springtime and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. So to remind us of the four seasons and the lovely fruits of the earth, we collect our cocktail sticks filled with sweets and push them carefully into the orange. God kept his promise. Sadly, the people of the world weren't so good at keeping theirs. Still, there was greed, anger, jealousy, and hatred. And so God had a new plan, which he centered on a little town called Bethlehem. This is where a very special baby was born. Jesus. Jesus came from God. Jesus is God's Son. He came to show us how to live, how to treat one another, how every single one of us is very, very important and especially loved by God. How much better this world would be if everyone realises and understands that. Well, 2,000 years ago they didn't, and on the first Good Friday, Jesus was put to death on the cross. But that's not the end of the story. On Easter Day, Jesus came back to life and appeared to his friends and promises to be with them and everyone who comes after them forever and ever. The great news is, that's us. He's with us now, and always will be. All he asks is that we believe in him and live our lives in peace and harmony, that we love one another. We can try, and we will sometimes make mistakes, and then we must say sorry to God. We're going to do that in a few moments, but first we're going to put the strip of red ribbon around our orange. This reminds us of the love of God encircling the world and of the blood that Jesus shed when he died for all the wickedness in the world, which is still going on today. Lord, we are sorry for the times we have preferred darkness to your light, for the times when we have rejected the warmth of your love, for the times when we have failed to bring your light to others. And so may God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
So, girls, do you think you're going to be able to make one of those this morning? And you're going to come in at the end of the service and show it to us, are you? Good. And it's important, isn't it, to remember what all those things mean. So hopefully you'll go through that again this morning as you make it. And that will stay in your head, even when you're eating the sweets and the orange later. Well, we're going to sing the children on their way as we lift our praises to the Lord one more time. And we're going to sing, See Him Lying on a Bed of Straw. The Calypso Carol.
Shepherds swiftly from your stool.
Do take a seat. If you can pick up your hymn book, Baptist Praise and Worship, the Burgundy one, we're going to turn to our psalm reading now, which is number 692 in the book, 692. And when you arrive there, you'll see that we're going to read these words from Psalm 103 together. I'll say the words that are written in the light type if you all together chime in with the words written in bold. To Psalm number 103. My soul, give thanks to the Lord. All my being, bless his holy name.
My soul, give thanks to the Lord and never forget all his blessings.
It is he who forgives all your guilt, who heals every one of your ills,
who redeems your life from ruin, who crowns you with love and compassion,
who fills your life with good things, renewing your youth like an eagle's. The Lord is compassion and love, slow to anger and rich in mercy.
His wrath will come to our end. He will not be angry with us.
He does not treat us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our faults. As a father has compassion on his sons, the Lord has pity on those who fear him.
For he knows what they are.
As for man, his days are like grass. He flowers like the flower of the field.
The wind blows and is gone, and his face never sees him again.
But the love of the Lord is everlasting upon those who hold him in fear.
There's justice reaches out to children's children.
Give thanks to the Lord, all his angels, mighty in power, fulfilling his word, who heed the voice of his word.
Give thanks to the Lord, all his saints.
Give thanks to the Lord, all his works in every place where he rules.
My soul gives thanks to the Lord.
Amen. Well, we'll receive now our collection, and then David is going to, after that, bring us our gospel reading. So let us pray, giving thanks. Our loving Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many rich blessings that you've showered over our lives. Each one we're grateful for, and all that we have belongs to you. Use your church, Lord, we pray, to build your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, the birth of Jesus. At that time, the Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. When this first census took place, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Everyone then went to register himself, each to his own town. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to them with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back, singing praises to God for all they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angel had told them. A week later, when the time came for the baby to be circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name which the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Amen.
Amen. Well, we've heard that Bible passage a few times now, haven't we, over the past couple of weeks, and David has had a lot of practice reading it from the front. He's read it twice. I think we heard it yesterday. Keith read those words. But we haven't yet spoken in any detail about those specific words as they appeared in Luke's Gospel. We've spoken generally, haven't we, about the Nativity, but not in particular about the word that was written by Luke. And you know, one of the quite wonderful revelations of this passage that we have from Luke's Gospel is about the encounter that we have with the shepherds on this journey. And it's easy to just discount what happened to them and turn your eyes completely to the nativity scene. But it's truly incredible what happened to the shepherds and the angels in this passage. The angels were given, weren't they, a reminder of what family line Jesus was descended from, the line of David. And we know that this is really important for us to understand, to believe that Jesus is exactly who we claim he is today. He was the Saviour that was promised to David. He was the descendant of David. But remembering that he was the descendant of David reminds us that he wasn't just the descendant from David as king. He was the descendant from David who was first a shepherd boy. And so there's some nice symmetry here, isn't there? That God speaks to these shepherds on the hillside. It's from where David came from, which is where Jesus comes from. And it would have been around the Bethlehem area that David would have been called by God from the fields where he looked after the sheep. And this is a wonderful reminder of the way God works. the way he calls people out of unregular circumstances to fulfill mighty tasks that you think wouldn't be possible if it were not for God. Through God, through the angelic messenger, he makes it clear to the shepherds that he still calls shepherds to do his work. Even though they might be considered the lowliest in society, he still calls them and he gives them a great task and a great honour in the work that he has to do. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And it's easy to forget, as we're Christians, going about the things that Christians do, especially at this time of the year and throughout the year, that what we have here is a promise of joy. And there are mistakes that are made about this joy. Some Christians put all the emphasis on today, the name it, claim it kind of Christian, who thinks that they should experience only joy, everything now. And then we have Christians who are a lot more pessimistic, who don't think they can really experience any kind of that joy now, but they say that a day will come when they can experience that kind of joy. We must remember this truth that was given to the shepherds. Did they experience joy at the time and the news they received? Yes, they did. Did that mean that they had to go and toil in labour in their normal work after this? Yes, they did. But that joy stayed with them. And it doesn't take away from the joy that will come in the future for them as well, when all the heavenly splendour that they witness becomes the reality as it pours out all over the earth and all things are made new. Well, why is there joy for them now and in the future? Well, it is because there is born to you, they're told, born as a gift to us, as it says in John 3:16, this day in the city of David, a saviour. Now, the angel speaks of this saviour and he calls him the Christ, the Hebrew word Messiah. He is the one who is coming to make all things new. He is the one who will be prophet, priest and king, anointed, as we say in our English language, in all those offices as prophet, priest and king, to combine all those things and to combine together and bring together all the promises that can bring the greatest joy possible of all things being made new, of all things returning, if you like, to how they should have been and being even greater than that. Jesus held all three, or would go on to hold all three of these offices, the passage says. And this is the sign that they were given. These shepherds, they were given the first sign of this coming to pass. They were given the first bit of special knowledge about who Jesus is, the token by which they can identify the child who will fulfill all those things. And they were told simply that it would be a babe lying in a manger. And this wouldn't be an ordinary sight. This wouldn't be something that they could have mistook, like in the life of Brian, where they gets confused between this one child and another. You've seen that movie, some of you. If you haven't, you watch it if you want to understand what I just said. There would be no mistaken identity here between Jesus and another child. You will not find other children being laid in a food trough. It just doesn't happen, does it? But they said you'll find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, and you can be sure that this is the child that we have spoken about. They would be a proud witness to this coming of the Messiah. And this simple truth that they were given of this child lying in a manger, they would see for themselves. You see, God didn't give them a complicated puzzle of signs that they had to work out. It didn't take a university professor, did it, to be able to work out what God was saying here. They were given a simple sign, a simple truth that they could find for themselves. And that's what God continues to do today for you and for me. You don't need a degree in theology. You don't need to look through this fantastic telescope that's being launched into space to work out what God is all about. You only need look to the manger and see Jesus lying there. And the Bible says that the shepherds, as they're on the hillsides, that suddenly there was the angel and a multitude of the heavenly host when they were given this news. The event was too important to be heralded by just one angel. All heaven was interested in the departure of its prince, and they marveled at the grace of the Father who sent him. And they all appeared at this time as the news was announced, the coming of eternal peace, praising God. And if you think of the stark scene at the stable where Jesus was born, I'm glad that there was rejoicing that was witnessed by some humans. And I'm glad that it was witnessed by these shepherds who wouldn't have known much happiness in their lives. But this would have provided all they needed for the joy to fill them for the rest of their life. And they heard the angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men." And the angels invoked blessings on God and peace upon man. And this should be our template, shouldn't it, for worship. This should be how we approach God in worship, longing for peace between God and man, and ultimately longing for peace between man and man, in whom, when God created them, he was well pleased. So let us be pleasing to God in our worship of how we treat each other, as well as how we approach God. And this passage is a reminder that the love of God is shed abroad upon all, even the most persistent of sinners. But his peace comes upon those who have accepted his Son, and in whom he is especially pleased with. Because even though you're a sinner, through faith you are made clean. Through faith in Jesus you are made clean. Through placing your faith in him, you are made clean. Even if your sins outnumber even the thoughts that you can imagine. Peace is the unfailing thing that Christians all can have as their gift. And it is true everlasting peace that is the gift of Christians alone in this world that we live in. And that is a wonderful truth. But it's also incredibly sad as well, isn't it? All the searching that the many other religions have made in pursuit of experiencing peace in their lives, they fall short of it because they do not know Jesus as their Saviour. All people who are trying to find some peace and contentment in the things of this world, in the things that money can buy, in the job that they have, in the car that they drive, in the house that they live in, they won't find it. Rachel and I were commenting just the other night how in this world we all have troubles, don't we? If you're as poor can be, you're worrying all the time, aren't you, about where is the next meal going to come from? If you have everything that you want, all the money, all the notoriety and celebrity in the world, you constantly are fighting with overindulgence. Will I put on too much weight? Do I still look as good as I did yesterday? What if the next person has the next new thing before me? And in young people who have lots of money, we see excess in different ways. We see great sexual sins. We see people struggling with drugs. And far too often we see life burning out much faster than it should. There is struggle for all, no matter what we have in this life. The only true lasting peace can come through Jesus Christ. And scripture says it came to pass when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has told us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and they found the babe lying there, just as God had told them they would, in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known concerning the saying which was spoken to them about the child. They were telling Mary and Joseph something they didn't know, that God had told them. They had been given that piece of knowledge first. They were the first evangelists, these shepherds who came down from the hills. So among the heralds of Christ, we know that there was one great prophet, John the Baptist. There was one learned Pharisee, Paul. These two were needed to fulfill what God needed to do through them. But the rest of the heralds of the good news start with the shepherds. They include fishermen and publicans. Yet their gospel has triumphed over the wisdom of men. And they have more peace in this life than anyone who is thought of as being learned or anyone who has wealth. These are those that God has used. And all that heard it wondered at the things that were said from these men, initially spoken by the shepherds. The gospel story excites wonder, doesn't it? The more we ponder it, the more wonderful it becomes. And I'm so glad that God uses people who come from nowhere. Because I myself didn't go to church as a child. My family worked in Coventry in the car industry. I think much of my family think I'm incredibly odd now doing what I do. But I'm really happy that I'm able to pass on God's message in this way, even in a small way. And God will continue to pluck people out of nowhere, and he will use them because he will speak through them and have them speak his words. No matter where, it will continue to happen. And the passage says, doesn't it, about Mary, that Mary kept all these things, particularly these things that the shepherds passed on to her, pondering them in her heart. And the silence of Mary, it contrasts in this moment, doesn't it, with the speaking the shepherds would have given as they passed on that knowledge. But it's the duty of Christians, you and I, to both ponder, as Mary did, the news and the wonder of what we hear, but also to pass it on to others. We have both the ministry of Mary and the ministry of the shepherds to continue in Jesus' name. And if you think about these words that we heard today from Luke's gospel, it's wonderful to think, isn't it, that the only person who could have passed these words on to Luke to write down could have been Mary. Mary, who sat there in wonder at what the shepherds were saying, and then years later passing them on to many others, but particularly to the author of this gospel, so that they could be recorded and read to us and by David today in 2021 in Rickmansworth on the High Street. That's incredible to think about, isn't it? And the statement indicates this wonderful eyewitness account that was passed on. The shepherds and their part in this story are full of significance. And the part of Mary in what she did and passed on is full of significance. In her quiet thoughtfulness, the beauty of what happened is passed on to each of us. And the passage indicates that the shepherds returned. They didn't make the glorious occasion an excuse for neglecting their duties, did they? They returned to go and do what they had to do. But they continued in their lives with one major difference. And this should be the major difference that happens in a Christian's life when they turn to Christ. That from that point on in their lives, they went glorifying God. And that should be our response when we leave church this morning and every day of our lives, giving glory to God because of the greatness of that which he has revealed, praising God because of the goodness of what he has revealed. For all the things that the shepherds had heard and seen, and even spoken to them, they would carry for the rest of their lives, and they would praise God for. Jesus came in exactly the same manner that the shepherds were told he would. He had been spoken about and described by the angels a few hours before, and they saw it all in front of them. We too can have confidence in God's word that it will happen exactly as he says it will. We don't have to do mental acrobatics to try to work out how these things that we read about in the book of the Revelation, how they can happen in the end. They're written in a way for us to understand, and they will happen as it says it will happen, because it is God's word. But until those things happen, like the shepherds, go about your life praising God. Ponder on the significance of this, but tell others, and don't neglect the duties you've been given, but do it whilst praising God, just as the shepherds did. Amen. Well, we're going to sing another carol now, and we're going to sing this well-known one, Silent Night, Holy Night.